Well, hello, guys. Welcome back to Witchcast. My name is Julia, and today we have a very special guest speaker with us. Her name is Anya, and we'll be diving into all things tarot and the world of tarot and how it kind of relates to our life and everything. So we have a lot of interesting stories, like I said, but let me introduce to you guys to her first. So Anya, why don't you say hello?
Hey, Julia. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes, absolutely. I'm to have you on this podcast. It's gonna be a very, very fun show. So let's talk about you first. So how did you kind of get into tarot card?
Tarot was something I always like was just, you know, drawn to from such a young age. It's something I kind of always just felt like I just needed to know how to do, really. I really started taking tarot seriously these last couple years. You know, when I was younger, I got a tarot deck that was promptly taken away from me and kind of, you know, left that hanging. But I've been doing tarot for about, you know, 4 years now and have been really, though, deep dive into it, you know, maybe in the last couple years. And I love it. It's just such a good meditation tool, and it really helps connect with intuition and psychic energy.
Very cool. Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. Tarot cards are a kind of like a universal tool to kind of use in magic, I think. And before we kind of dive into more stories, let's pull a tarot card of the day and we'll talk about it. All right, let me just pull a card real quick and then we'll get started. Okay, so we just got the Emperor card, and that's going to be reversed. And the Emperor card is actually a major arcana card. So that's going to be one of, like, the major cards. Like, when you see, like, the Lovers or the Devil, the Tower, kind of those kinds of cards, this is in the mix with that. So when the Emperor card comes up, typically when it's upright, it kind of means, like, authority figure, someone you need to, like, ask permission to. He's kind of like the go-to guy where he takes care of everything. He's kind of like the dad of the family. You know what I mean? So with this card upside down, it kind of just like, to me, it kind of screams like indecision. You're kind of just like almost rebelling, but you want to find out things for yourself. Like you want to get your own information without having to ask, you know, your high authority figure. You kind of want to learn what it means to be who you are by yourself versus having being told what you should be. So I think that's a very interesting card to get, especially for this episode, because we're going to be diving into the world of tarot. And, you know, there's so many different definitions and a lot of different kinds of ways to interpret it. And I think that with this card, it kind of just like gives us a telltale sign of just like, using your own gut and using your own intuition to talk about tarot. Don't go based on like what other people are saying or like try to mimic other people, because everyone is unique to themselves. And the way you kind of interpret things is based on using your intuition. So I kind of have that feeling with this card. Anya, what do you think?
Yeah, everything you said was really good. What is... So, you know, we have the Emperor and then its counterpart is the Empress. So when I like to look at the Emperor in reference to the Empress, you know, the Empress, both are obviously, you know, they're intuitive cards for sure. But the Empress is specifically, you know, kind of like that that yin energy, right? Versus yeah, like the male yang. So, you know, he's very focused on logic and kind of more like dharma and or dogma, whatever, what have you. And versus the feminine side, the Empress is focusing more on the feminine side of things. So everything you said pretty much sums it up very well. Yeah, you said it well.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the whole yin and yang kind of aspect that you brought into that, because it totally makes sense. Like the, like you said, the counterpart is the Empress. So they're kind of like the mom and dad couple of the tarot card world. So I think that's very cool. But I know that you have a really, really cool Instagram. Do you want to kind of tell us about that?
Oh, sure. So I started this Instagram as a passion project in the middle of quarantine. It's like, well, I know. It's like, let's start blogging again. So it's called the season of Anya, the season dot or the dot season dot of Anya.
Very cool.
I just started because I like taking pictures, and I was taking, I was just kind of really getting deep into my spirituality during quarantine because, what better thing to do, right?
Exactly.
And, I just started, I started capturing moments. I'm like, man, like, I'm just studying my tarot. This is a beautiful scene right now. Let me take a picture. And I just got really inspired by photography. So I kind of just decided to, my page started growing and growing, and, not like it's that huge, but I just decided to go for it and do a blog again. So I'm still developing it, but I talk a lot about tarot on there. I do daily pulls. Sometimes I'll do spreads. I'll talk about all things witchcraft and pretty much everything, in witchcraft, and just kind of, a lot of beginner stuff on there too, because I know when I first started getting into it, it was kind of like, okay, I'm reading all these books, but like, I don't even know where to begin within the books, especially if I read a lot of those Gerald Gardner books. I'm not a practicing Wiccan, but if you read those Wicca books, it's very like, you must place the chalice on your altar and, facing east, on the night of the full moon or whatever. And I'm like, this is a little much. So
yeah, it gets a little serious sometimes. And sometimes you just want to be playful. And I completely, I resonate with that 100%. But I know that you are starting to do deck reviews. Is that something that you're very passionate about as well?
Yeah, it's just being able to put my energy into decks and into that kind of stuff is so fun. And I figured, especially now, we don't have access to all these stores right now, or it's just kind of hard to find all these tarot decks, all these amazing, beautiful tarot decks that we have online. Figured why not just do a little tarot deck review. And so that's what I'm going to start doing. I have some decks collected that I want to get my hands on a little more, and just kind of, pros and cons, because some of these decks, $40, $50, I've even seen some for over $100. You want to make sure you at least enjoy it, right? So
yeah, definitely. Because I know there's this tarot deck that I am like eyeing and like drooling over. It's called the black tarot card or tarot deck. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Ooh.
It's like, I have to send you the link later, but it's like all black. It's all the sides are etched completely in black. Mm. And it's a very, very, very beautiful deck, but it is very pricey. It goes for like $100 to $150. So I know I don't have the money for that right now, but like in the future, I would love to save up for it. So I would love to see how you have different deck reviews, so that way we can kind of like get an estimate of like what we're going to get ourselves into. So I think that's very cool. So I know, do you have an Etsy shop as well? Do you sell tarot decks in the Etsy shop, or what do you usually sell in there?
No, not yet anyways. Maybe eventually, if I accumulate so many decks, I'll put some used ones on there or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, honestly, it's very eclectic. I make jewelry, very witchy inspired jewelry, and, it's called Anya's Apothecary. So I'm also growing it as well. I'm kind of going 50 million directions, but I love every minute of it. So right now I have like manifestation spell jars on there. I'm trying to hone in on my recipe for candles so I can make some really beautiful candles, incense, all that kind of stuff for you guys. So everything is still in the baby stages, but it's there, it's out there, and I'm putting it out there because I just want to manifest this really cool little community and resource for you guys.
Oh, that is amazing. Yeah, and good vibes sending your way. Absolutely. I think that's very, very cool that you have your own little shop, you have your blog, you have your Instagram. Like, it's a great time, I think, during quarantine to kind of like have your starter business. Because like you said, what else are you really going to do besides, just stay at home and go crazy? Yeah. So I think that having your own little business and kind of just like exploring the world of tarot on your daily day basis, I think is a really beautiful thing. So let's dive into the world of tarot, and let's start off with, what do you think divination means to you, or like how does it kind of translate for you?
Divination, I mean, really, it's kind of, it's, gosh, it's really, for me, especially when I work with tarot, it's kind of finding the answers that you already know. It's almost like confirming the answers you already know a lot of times. Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, man, I just need a sign, or I just need direction. You know where you should be going, or you know what direction you should be headed, but you just need that push. You need something to kind of reel it in, or, you know, just kind of steer you a little bit, especially if you're at like a crossroads in life, stuff like that. It's that's what it means to me.
Yeah, kind of like something to push you over the edge a little bit, just a little nudge, right?
Yes. Oh, that's perfectly put.
Yeah, I completely agree. Tarot cards and divination specifically, just as a relative term, I think it really means to kind of just like use different tools to kind of like look within yourself. It's almost like a mirror. You're looking into the mirror, right? Yeah. And you're seeing things that you don't want to see, but you need to see them anyway. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, you're wearing an outfit and you need to know if it's good or not. And it turns out it's hideous.
But somebody needs to tell you. Exactly.
Someone needs to tell you, or else you're just going to walk out the door and you're going to be like, fuck, I look like shit. Like,
yes.
So I completely agree with that whole kind of, you know, world of divination and what it typically means. But what part of divination interests you the most? Like, is it just tarot, or is it like pendulums? Do you like to have like a dowsing rod, or do you like to have like a Ouija board? Which parts kind of just like scream, pick me, pick me?
Gosh, I mean, honestly, truly everything, but because I just love it. I think it's a really great tool, especially now that I'm starting to really read for others and use it for others. It's kind of, you know, telling yourself that that dress looks ugly on you is one thing, right? But telling somebody else, like, girl, you look like shit, and you need to go home right now. That's intense. But but you know, I actually took a class through Zoom, because, you know, we're in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah. But it was Italian bone dice divination. So that's kind of my new slowly but surely little passion project. It's very it's intense. It's really cool though. So maybe in the future I'll be able to talk to you a little more about it. But that's probably where I'm headed, and just trying to connect with, like, you know, Italian, kind of, you know, the more Italian side of things as well, because I am I'm Italian. I'm 100% Italian, and there's a lot of folk magic involved as well.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. Is the term called Straga, or what is?
Yeah, so Strega means witch, and then there's Stregoneria, which is Italian folk magic.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, because it's just kind of things that are embedded in the culture that, you know, it's like, yeah, I guess that is magic, but, you know, like Malocchio, evil eye removal or evil eye casting and all that kind of stuff, but they don't necessarily, because it's Italian witchcraft is actually very much embedded with Catholicism, shockingly enough. So a lot of the rituals actually are involved praying to saints and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting.
That is so interesting. In future episodes, please just let us know what Italian witchcraft is like.
Yes. 'Cause,
you know, like, I think I'm always so curious to see what different religions and different types of magic and, you know, styles of magic there are out there. And, you know, that obviously we can't like name all of them, because there's so many different types and there's different cultures and everything. So I think that is a very, very cool topic for another episode. So do you practice any, because I know you said that you're doing the practice of dice rolling on Zoom. Is that similar to runes, or is it like another ball game on its own?
I think, as far as I know, I haven't gotten into runes too much, but I think it's another ball game on its own. As far as I'm aware, it's shockingly in a lot of math because of the numbers. So basically, when you throw dice, it's very much, so I feel like tarot, it's kind of like, you know, where are you being guided versus guidance, right? It's kind of like, okay, I'm being guided this way, or the cards are telling me, you know, the Emperor, you're rejecting authority, versus, say, with dice divination, the way I learned, it's more like, it's kind of almost like you want an instant answer kind of thing. Like, hey, you know, is this guy I'm seeing, is he a total tool or what? Shake the dice, look at the numbers. Yes. You know,
that's awesome. Oh my God. I have to look into that, because that sounds really cool. And hopefully in the future you can sell dice on your Etsy shop, because I think that'd be
really cool. Ooh, thank you for that idea, ma'am.
Good ideas all the way.
Love it.
So I kind of wanted, the next topic I wanted to get into, what are your thoughts on tarot cards versus oracle decks?
I really love them both, to be honest. If you want amazing imagery in your life, I mean, oracle cards have some beautiful imagery. I really liked, honestly, for a beginner, you know, oracle decks, I think, is the way to go. 100%. It's, you know, you can just start with a card of the day pull. That's honestly what got me a little more comfortable working with tarot. You know, just do an oracle card of the day. You know, it usually has a very cut and dry theme on there. You don't have to worry about looking at the book unless, you know, you want to. But it's just an easy, quick way to kind of just start, like, okay, surrender. What does that mean? You know, how can I apply that to my life? Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That totally falls in line with my life. And then, you know, to me, tarot was something I was very, actually, as much as I loved it and love it now, of course, but in the beginning, I was so overwhelmed by it, because I'm like, I need to know it all now, and I need to know the reversals, and I need to study the book. And oracle cards are a very chill way of getting into it without feeling like you have to learn, you know, 72 cards or whatever, 78 cards, and then reversed.
Yeah, because 78 cards it's a mouthful to kind of like remember everything, especially with all the small details. You have to look at the coloring.
Yeah.
You have to look at the way the foot is like situated. You have to look at her facial expressions. It's a lot. And I completely agree with that, because oracle decks, I feel like they're more forgiving. They definitely have this like gentle side to it, where you can just pull a card, has like a phrase or just one word, and you just go based on that phrase or word. I think one of my favorite decks that I have, oracle wise, I think I've mentioned this to you before, it's called the Supra Oracle deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, guys, I highly recommend checking that deck out. There's only going to be 2,000 copies being made. I think it's like roughly in the 1500s right now. I know. So they're like really, really cool. And the imagery is like insane, because everything is in black and white, and it's on like this cream cardstock.
Mm.
And, you know, like I said, the pictures depicts like, you know, gnosis. You have like a huge eye and like a book, and it's like it's showing you like what knowledge could look like. It has like some of the imagery, it doesn't even have like a phrase to it. It's just like an orb, or like some kind of pendulum or like pentacle. So I think oracle decks are kind of, I'm kind of 50-50 about saying this, but like I feel like it's like the way to go beginner wise.
Yeah.
So that way you can kind of get into it first without being so like overwhelmed and like daunted, you know, because like you said, like I was saying, having 78 cards and do the reversals, you know, like that's going to be like what, in the 150 cards plus, yeah, that you have to memorize essentially. So that's just what I think on tarot cards and oracle cards, like the difference between the two. But I mean, like, of course, you guys, you can choose whatever you want to, whatever it calls to you first. Like, you don't necessarily have to go one way or the other. It's just like all preference.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, if you are feeling overwhelmed with tarot, but you're still really drawn to, you know, card divination, then maybe consider oracle if you're, you know, struggling, because it's a great tool.
Yeah. And, you know, another way to kind of get through, like, let's say you do choose the world of tarot, right? I think a good way to kind of get into tarot is just to focus on the major arcana cards first, because there's 22 cards versus having 56 cards. So you can just basically focus on the major arcana, like the cards I was saying, the Emperor, the Lovers, Death, the Tower. Those cards you can even do tarot card readings on its own, and I think it's a little more potent, because having the major arcana court cards, they really tell you like a huge story. And I think that whenever I do like a reading, and I get one of those court cards, they really stick out like a thorn. Mm-hmm. And they really tell you, like, you really need to pay attention to this reading and, like, in this aspect specifically. So, you know, I think it'd be a really kind of interesting way to kind of just start tarot by just doing the first 22 cards. And then from there, you can kind of see if you want to go move on towards the other 56. But, you know, it's, I just want to put this out there as well. You know, like, divination, it's not for everyone too. Yeah. I mean, you can get into it. It's a very fun experimental way to kind of, like, dip your toes in. But necessarily, you don't have to use tarot cards or oracle cards. There are plenty of other resources you can use to use divination. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there first, so that way you guys are kind of just aware. But yeah, so I just want to kind of talk about the next topic, is using your intuition while reading. What do you, how do you feel about using your intuition, and what does it mean to you?
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to say that is actually really what you said previously about using the major arcana as a starting point, I think is phenomenal advice, that I wish was given to me in the beginning. So, you know, listen to Julia for sure, because, yeah, but anyways,
Thank you. I really appreciate that, because, like, coming from you especially, because I know you have, like, this whole, like, different, like, this crazy world of tarot, and you know a lot more. And I'm, like, so interested in, like, learning from you as well, because, like, you're always learning, and I always love to learn. So there's, I feel like I learn from everyone. Yes. and different topics. So yeah, using your intuition, I think, is, like, a huge part of divination and tarot reading especially, because, like, I know sometimes when I do tarot card readings, I specifically just try to use my gut instinct. Yeah. And gut feeling. It's almost kind of like word vomit for mm-hmm. me. The first word that comes out is what it is. There's no other, you don't overthink mm-hmm. it. You don't underthink it. You just say it, and it's like, boom. Okay, so the Emperor, this means indecision. Okay, got it. So there you snowball into just, like, seeing what the other words that can accompaniment with indecision, right? So I think that using your intuition is a very, very key part in using magic in general, but to have it with, you know, pairing it with you reading tarot cards, I think is very, very key, important thing, because without having that kind of gut feeling, and you kind of just, like, basically just looking up definitions on your own, I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking up definitions, but I like to kind of just, like, the way I practice is I look at the card first and kind of hold it and see what it means to me. And then when you have, like, some kind of, like, phrase or, like, word in your head, you can then pair it with a definition in the book. And then from there, you can kind of create your own definition, right? So yeah, that's just kind of my take on intuition and how you can use it. What do you think?
Yeah, that was perfectly put. You know, if you're an overthinker like myself, you're going to have a really hard time actually wanting to use your intuition and not going by the book definition.
Yeah.
But, you know, the book, I mean, at the end of the day, if you look, I mean, if you really go on, there's always going to be, like, a general theme of cards, sure, but there are so many nuances and little details that you can pick up in a reading that just depend on that moment, or who you're reading for, or the energy in the room, or, you know, what draws your eye. I mean, sometimes I'll look at a card and, you know, I'm more drawn to the imagery, even though I've seen this card a million times, or the colors, you know, I'm more drawn to the colors instead of the image, or I'm more drawn to, say, the rabbit in the background or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so you really, it's a fantastic tool that I really think actually for me has allowed me to grow my practice, to grow, especially with, like, spell work, workings, rituals, all that kind of stuff. Because if you're constantly trying to calculate every moment of your, not even of your life, but I mean, even just keeping it with witchcraft, you know, if you're trying to calculate your workings and trying to be so precise and so, oh, I need cedar, I need this exactly, I need this precisely, you get lost in the moment. And, you know, divination, tarot, and just learning to trust yourself is such a huge benefit, because you know, even I've started kind of reading for people I know. And again, that's kind of scary because that can go many ways, or you can just, you know, have the fear of looking like a complete idiot, right? Because your reading was super off. But again, I found that when I go and try to, for example, I pulled the Ten of Pentacles for a friend of mine. I believe it was reversed. And I'm thinking, oh, you have money problems, because that's what the book says. That's not what came to my mind first. What came to my mind first was lack of community or something like that. So I told her, I said, okay, so are you having some money problems? What's going on? She's like, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, it's tough times. And I could tell she wasn't into the reading. I said, you know what? What about this? And then I told her, are you feeling like a little disconnected from community? And she's like, yes, this actually resonates with me a lot more. I said, okay, I should have gone with that. So it's kind of, that's how you really are able to hone in on that skill.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think book definitions are kind of like a double-edged sword. And like, you know, it gives a lot of good insight, and, you know, it kind of tells you like a base, kind of like a guideline of what the card could actually mean. But I don't really like using book definitions because everyone's perception of the card is going to be different. You know, you're not going to find one true definition because there isn't one. And you're going to have to, what I like to do with my tarot cards is when I get the deck, I like to bond with it. And, you know, before we even get to bonding, choosing a deck for me, I like to, of course, go to stores and kind of like feel for it. I mean, granted, we're during quarantine, so it's kind of hard to do that. But before quarantine, I would go to like a metaphysical store or like Barnes & Noble even. Barnes & Noble has a really good selection of tarot cards. It's really weird, but they do. They have like a great selection. So I would definitely go to a store and, you know, I would just kind of browse through all the different decks. And, you know, sometimes they just like jump out at me and they're just like, okay, you need to take a look at this one. And it's just like, it's really weird. It's kind of almost like you're closing your eyes and you're just choosing something random. And like, that's how it is. It kind of just like jumps at you. And, you know, once you kind of get that, you know, bond, you kind of just start feeling for it. And once you feel for it, you're just like, okay, so I can connect to this and it's connecting to me. Mm-hmm. And then once you buy the deck and take it home, of course, I think bonding with a deck is very, very important. Of course, I like to sage my entire deck first to kind of clear the energy. And then once it's clear, you input your own energy into it, so that way you connect to it and bond to it. And I know this sounds pretty tedious, but I like to go through every single card and see what it means to me, because every single card is going to mean differently to anyone else too. It's not going to be, like I said, one true definition. But I like to have like, what's really important for me is I have a tarot journal. I write all my findings in there. I write everything that I can in there about tarot cards. And then from there, you can, there's nothing wrong with reverting back to your notes, because you're not going to memorize everything unless, you know, like you're a baller or something. And I'm not that baller yet, you know?
Same.
So I think, you know, it's nothing wrong with referring back to your notes, because that's what I like to do. I like to kind of, it doesn't even have to be like an in-depth definition in your notebook. It could just be like a phrase or just like a couple words of like what you think it means. And then you go to the next card. But I think it's really important, guys, for you to understand that bonding with a deck is huge. Like, that's the number one thing that you kind of just need to go and do before you even do readings.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that, because yes, it sounds tedious, but at the same time, like, you have to. Even me, like, I got a new deck and the imagery is a little different. So, you know, it's different energy. And I got a new deck. I'm like, oh, I'm not really connecting with it yet. And I'm literally like hanging out with people. This was a little while ago. And, you know, I'm hanging out with people and I'm like sitting on my, like, well, not literally sitting on it, but like, it's in my lap, you know, I put everything in my bra, you know, it's in me. It's around me. It's in my energy. Like, I want to feel it. I want it to feel me. And you got to shuffle it. You got to go through every card, even if it's a quick little thing. And one thing that you said too, about, you know, having your little tarot journal, I actually highly also recommend that you don't do the in-depth definitions, because that's what I did when I was started. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to basically copy and paste the book, but into my little, you know, book of shadows and call it a day. But honestly, having that long of a definition, even if it's a few sentences, when you're doing 78 cards plus reversals, that's not going to stick with you. Having keywords or like one sentence, like, you know, whether it's the narrative about the card, like say, for example, if we were doing the Emperor and the Empress, you know, kind of show the symbology and the dualism between both of them versus like, okay, you know, this long drawn out definition. Exactly. Paragraph. It doesn't stick with you. Yeah. And again, for me, it's like that whole overwhelming process where it's like, okay, I suck at this, forget it. And you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you're absolutely correct with that too, because like, if you have like a paragraph even, or like, God forbid, it's like two paragraphs, you're not going to memorize that. If you do, you have a photographic memory, and good for you. That's amazing. But I don't have that. So I like to write a couple key phrases on what I think it means. And then when you go back to it, you can just elaborate more during the reading. Cause you know, you just have the key phrase, like let's say you got like the death card. It doesn't mean you're going to die. It means rebirth. Yes. You know, it means you're going to like shed all the negativity you had, and you're going to grow from that and become the phoenix and just rise. Right. So it's little key phrases like that, that you can use to kind of just make your readings a little bit more special. And I think that with tarot card readings especially, you need to like, you don't have, okay, I don't like saying need, but like in this case, I feel like I need to say it, paint a picture of the whole entire reading, you know, because like not everyone's gonna be like, you just it, like for instance, you're gonna say like, oh, you got the Emperor inverted and then you got the two of swords. No one's gonna understand what you're talking about. They're gonna be like, okay, what does that mean? Yeah. You know. So I think that painting a picture and a story of what, you know, it could be is huge, because like you need to really engage your listener, and you got to like really pull them in and reel them in, instead of just like having them sit there and be like, okay, what do these cards even mean? Like, they just look like symbols. So, you know, I really think that if you guys are going to start tarot cards, you know, of course it's going to take a while for you to get to the whole story aspect of it, which is fine. But, you know, once you kind of get comfortable, I think storytelling with your cards, whether it's Oracle or Tarot, is super fun and immersive. I like to, when I do tarot card readings, I like to have the listener involved, or like the partner involved with me. You know, I don't want to just like sit there babbling about like what it means. I like to engage and be like, oh, okay, so you know, you're having money problems, what's going on, are you okay, like do you need like this help, blah 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 blah, and go in more in depth and like ask questions, and kind of from there you can formulate a better answer. It's kind of like interviewing, you know.
And it really is, I mean, 100% that, because again, like, you know, again, when you're picking up energy in a room or something like that, like, again, pentacles can mean money, like when I was talking about that previous instance, or it can mean like grounding, you know, community. I mean, there's so many other things that you do need some cues. It's not like you're fishing and like, oh, you know, I'm trying to, you know, my intuition is all, you know, and I can't rely on anything else. You do have to pick up on how to, you know, read other people and read their energy and pick up on that story and get them involved, because sometimes you get stuck. I mean, and it's okay to get stuck, especially when you're reading for others, because, you know, as much as we want to be, we are not mind readers just yet.
Yeah, we're not mind readers just yet. And, you know, it's kind of like you have to read a room, exactly what you were saying. Like, you have to pick up social cues and kind of just like get, like I keep saying, immersive with the whole reading. Because at the end of the day, I was talking to a tarot reader. Her name is Elise. She's going to be in another episode. She kind of like mentioned how tarot cards are basically like driving a car. It has like all these different kinds of preset, you know, buttons and everything. But you just have to learn how to navigate through it and paint the picture and go through it, you know. And not everyone is going to see the picture right away, but you just need to keep driving and, you know, really kind of just get into it and show the scenery and be like, oh, you see that tree over there? Yeah, that means blah, 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 you know? And I think that's a very cool way to look at tarot cards, because not everyone can paint that picture just quite yet, which is, like I said, it's completely fine. But like, once you get there, it's going to be so much easier and it's going to flow so much more naturally, because you can just like start babbling and like getting everyone involved, and you know, it sounds like a party trick, but it's not. It's not a party trick. It's a fun time. You know, there's a difference between being like having a party trick and trying to get attention and, you know, trying to make it all about you versus having someone having a trick like a story time where you kind of get everyone involved, but it's more organic.
It's a tool. Unique,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So I love this episode so far. I think it's really amazing. What do you have advice for beginner tarot card readers, and like what would you tell someone if they just started talking or grabbing a tarot deck?
What would you say? I would say the biggest thing, you know, just start, pull a card a day. Don't even worry about those spreads, especially if you start seeing that Celtic cross or whatever. Like, do not get yourself in over your head, because that's when you're going to get discouraged and just, you're going to lose the meaning, you know. It's so, a great way to cultivate your practice is just to pull a card a day, kind of like, whether it's Oracle, whether it's Tarot, just pull a card a day, start there. And if you have to look at the book, that's fine, but marinate on that for the day, you know. Of course, you can always do more, but, you know, it's hard sometimes connecting those dots in the beginning. It, you know, it's like, wait, this one's about love, this one's about, I don't know, death, you know, what, huh? I don't get it. The more cards you add, the harder it can be to finish the story or to complete the story. So just start with a card a day, you know. That's, start by putting your energy into that deck too, after you've bonded with it, after you've connected with it. Just start, grab a cup of coffee, but really try to do at least one card a day reading, because that will really elevate your practice like no other.
I 100% agree with that. I actually tell my cousins who are actually getting into witchcraft right now, and they're always asked, like, how do you read your tarot cards? Do you have to do like a 5-card spread or like a 10-card spread? I'm like, no, I don't even do that, even, you know, on a daily basis, because that gets really overwhelming and it's really intense, you know. So pulling one card a day, I think, is very, very helpful and very beneficial, because each card is going to be different. And then you start kind of like understanding, oh, so I'm pulling the Queen of Cups. Okay, so she means this, this, and this. And next time you pull it, you know, you're going to be like, oh, I pulled this card like last week. I get it, you know, and you start learning.
Exactly. And then you build on it.
I think, yeah, you build on it. You just, it's like a snowball effect. You keep going, 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 and it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. So, you know, I just really like to say thank you, Anya, for being a part of this episode and this podcast. And, you know, guys, she is quite an amazing individual. Really, please do check out her Instagram, check out her blogs and her Etsy shop, because she is a very hard worker, guys. She knows exactly how to get through quarantine and kill it. So she slays the day and everything. Aww. So, you know, just want to say thank you, Anya, again. Like I said, thanks for being a part of this podcast and listening. So, Anya, thank you again, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. I am always here to share anything you need to know. Like, if you guys need to hit me up on social media for any questions, you know, hit me up, because like we were saying earlier, it's about sharing and growing and learning from others. And I'm just really honored that you think my voice is, you know, my voice is worth having on your show. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And your voice is always going to be important to me. And I think that having you in future episodes is going to be beneficial for everyone. So, yay. Like I said, I'm very excited to work with you in the future as well, to have more episodes, because, you know, having, you know, different witches on the podcast, I think, is very, very important, because we need to build a sense of community. And I feel like that's being lost in the modern age. So I want to say, like I said, thank you, listeners, and thank you, everyone. And I hope everyone kind of just like kills Friday and kills the day. So thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.